share the same tile, we could wait.
No, there's nothing.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Sure, yeah, Marshall, we're open, right?
How many people asked that question before? We all looked at the sheet and didn't even question it. Long way to December.
Well, to Zion Cheshbon, they started saying they're just about high.
Look, maybe the road is busy for the next month.
Zion Cheshbon is Friday.
But I'm saying it is.
And now it's Israel.
Yeah, it's relevant.
This week, it's relevant, it's topical.
We're not there.
We're waiting for Mashiach, getting ready for Mashiach.
Mashiach is coming.
All right.
So a few things. First of all, the Mishnah refers to Geshem. Mashavurach, me'emasai maskirun gvura is gishom. So, that it's called Geshem, I understand. Why is it called gvura is gishom? That the Gemara addresses the question, but in a way, even the Gemara's, what the Gemara addresses begs the question. The Gemara says, "Tonam Amos I maskirim gurus kishama." Will this name Amos I maskirim ala kishama? The Gemara says, "Why am I gurus kishama?" Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Meishe yordan begvura," because they descend with power. Shenema. So he's not making a practical statement. Shenema. Osa gdoilos ve'ein cheker niflos arein mispo. Uksiv anois and motor on pnei oros or shomulayach mayim on pnei chutzos. So Omer Rabo bar Shilo astio cheker cheker mepriyos or shalom. Uksiv hocha ois and gdoilos arein cheker. And that's in reference to the rain. Ksiv hosam alo yadat alo shemat alo ke oilam boyre kitzoy saorot lo yob lo yigo in cheker lishun oso. So Rashi explains. Ksiv oisen flois ve'ein cheker. Amal ksiv cheker b'ksham. Ksiv cheker b'briyos ha'shaloyla. Ma b'briyos ha'shalom ksiv be'gvura. Ab'ksham ma b'kamand ksiv be'gvura. It's as if it says gvura there. We're still left where we are. So it's compared to Brias Olam. Brias Olam is called Gvura. Exactly. Right? Because by the creation of the world, it says until the Mechin Horem Bekoyach Nezor Begvura. So rain is considered. So, of course, what does the Gemara want? So it's comparable somehow to Brias Olam. So Gvura, we know, Pastach is appropriate for Gshamim too. Okay, so what's the point? I believe that's the starting point. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal addressed the issue. So I presume he meant to say that even after you read the Gemara, you're still back to the same kasha. Like, okay, so you could hypothetically apply Gvura to Gshamim. But like, why bother? You know, what are you missing if you don't have it? So he turned his attention first. I believe he was based, maybe he's based on a Tiferes Yisrael, but first, he turned his attention first to a Gemara on Arvei Pesachim. The Gemara on the Arvei Pesachim says the following: Kosher, Mezoinoisav Shal Odom Kriyas Yamsuf, Kosher, Zivugam Shal Odom Kriyas Yamsuf. So it comes out there are three things that Chazal say are difficult. Kriyas Yamsuf was difficult, and Parnassah is difficult, and marriage is difficult, getting married. So the Shaila is a Weltkasha. What's difficult for the Rabbeinu Shalom? The Rabbeinu Shalom, right, with one mimer could have created the world. Right? So what's difficult? We have things that are difficult to do. We do difficult jobs sometimes. Some are easy, some are hard. But Brother Rabbeinu Shalom, it says in reference that he created the world, lo yiyof lo yiga. He didn't grow weary. So what's the pshat? Three things are kosher by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Heard all the pshatim too. I'll tell you Rav Soloveitchik's pshat. Rav Soloveitchik's pshat was based on a Zohar. I don't know of in front of me where the Zohar is, But based on a Zohar, he said the following. That the dilemma of all three of these things is the same. Is by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Klal Yisrael took Pesel Micha and Avodah Zorah through the Yamsuf with them. Then when it comes to Mezoinus and Zivug, the Rabban Hashem gives it to the whole world. There are Tzadikim and there are Rishon. But the Rabban Hashem sustains all of them and gives everyone Zivugon in this world. So the Midas Adin would say that it's not correct. How does the Rabban Hashem undertake these significant actions on behalf of Chayit? So Nishmanaya, you had a split Kriyas Yamsuf that you schlep an Avodah Zorah through? Sayi Tochen. He gives Zivugan Shalodom to who? To someone that's Moilid Rishon. He gives Parnassah to someone, and what does he use it for? For evil. So what's. So Nishmanaya Isha. The system shouldn't work. So he says, that's the Gvura. That's the kosher before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The kosher before the Rabbeinu Shalom is that he has to transcend the Midas Adin. According to the Midas Adin, he should not do such things. And in all of these cases, he had to transcend the Midas Adin. Rain is Parnosa. So the Rabbeinu Shalom provides Parnosa for the Rishon too in the world. That's why it's Gvura is Kshaman. Perhaps we can follow through with that. In the Bria Sa'ilam, if the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't transcend the Rishon, there couldn't be a world. Right? We say that the Gemara Numa, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so they wanted to stop saying HaGibar V'Hanayr. So then they decided, no, that Michamoicha be'ilmim Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom remains silent and keeps the world going. That's the biggest gvur. That's the biggest gvur. So the ability to hold his hand, even though this rish is taking place in the world, that's gvur. So in Bria Sa'ilam necessitated Gvura too. So perhaps that Rosh Soloveitchik did not touch upon that part with the Bria Sa'ilam, but that's my addition to what he said. So we have Maskirim Gvura is Kishama. There's a Gvura of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's the Gvura that's necessary to push the Midas Adin aside. Now, Gemara says in Brochus, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. So each day we should praise the Rabbeinu Shalom, we should render Me'in Berchaisav, according to what's taking place, what's appropriate for that day. So that's the general notion that we have in Tefillah, that Tefillah is associated with the time and place of the Tefillah. Right? Shabbos has a different Tefillah, Yom Tov has a different Tefillah. Chol Yom V'Yom Me'in Berchaisav. When there's a particular need, so we address the Rabbeinu Shalom in terms of that need. Geshem is dealing in Eretz Yisrael at a certain time of the year. Now, perhaps the reason that we're so focused on Eretz Yisrael, not only because it's Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is to say in the first Perek in Tainus, it's an amazing statement. The Gemara says that all Parnosa of the world comes through the Bruch of Eretz Yisrael. You know, somehow it looks like they made an express train. It didn't have no stops. You know, it goes straight through. You know, and you have to bring it back from Chutz Lars to Eretz Yisrael. But all Parnassa comes in the schus of Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps that's why we're dependent really on when rain is appropriate in Eretz Yisrael, because the bracha of Parnassa in Eretz Yisrael is a bracha for the entire world. And maybe that will answer a kasha that we have later. Maybe our pizza we can answer our famous kasha. So we have Maskirin Gvuros Kishama. And then the Gemara has a whole pilpul, when exactly to begin, Rebbe Elazar Omer Biyonta for Rishon Shel Chag, which happens to be, makes tremendous sense. B'chag didoinim alamayim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, B'chag didoinim alamayim. So on the first day, at least if we don't have the tefillahs, because the tefillahs we don't exactly need yet, it's not this man, but at least ritzui, to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom, to prepare the ground for the tefillahs, at least that much we should start to do. From the first day of Yom Tov. From Yeshua Aymer Yom Tov Achman Shal Chag. And from the last day of the Chag. Omala Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Lezer, Hoyol Vein Gisham Melesim and Klol of Chag. Rain on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. Not in other places, but in Eretz Yisrael, the Achrayim say in Masech the Sukkah, is a Klol, is a Simon Klol. Why? We come to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. And what does the Rabbeinu Shalom tell us? He dumps rain on us, which is unusual to happen in Eretz Yisrael and Sukkahs. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, take a hike. I'm not interested in you being here.
Is that only the first night or
any time? It's less than, apparently it's in all the nights. That's what it looks like. Because otherwise we could start to bring this palo for the Geshem after the first day. Or on the first day already. So it's all the days. What?
Time said it rained first night.
For a while, then it stopped. Then we're able to eat in the sukkah.
Yeah.
Now, the truth of the matter is, it's almost the other way around. On the first night, you could argue it's not a simun klol. Why? Because the kezayis, according to many rishonim, you mechuyav to eat even if it rains. So you have the mitzvah. You know, the full mitzvah, but you have the mitzvah, the first night, there is a mitzvah. Masha Enke and the rest of Sukkot, there's no mitzvah at all. So he said, how could you mention Geshem, it's a simon klola b'chag, which is, I pointed out over Yontem, is that Shmini Atzeres is very strange. Not that it's, I understand that it's a simon klola, it's a Mishnah in Sukkot, that's not the issue. But the issue is that Min HaShemayim, they established a din at a time when you're supposed to, the din alamayim, at a time we're supposed to say clear of anything to do with the din alamayim. I find that astounding. It's
the
like telling you. What?
For us, passages which way? They shouldn't have made a din then, or that we
should have? Either one of the two. If you decide you can't, it's impossible to have the tefillahs, then the Rabbeinu Shalom B'Yosha should have made the din some other time. And Elamai, the din has to be that time. So the Chayr, then you should have to say, it's at a certain, listen, how can you not have tefillahs? It's like telling me, listen, I have a cheshbon on Yom Kippur, why you're not supposed to be mispalo? So what are you going to tell me? Not one Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur. So what are you going to tell me? So there is some measure of ritzu, there is, that's true. But it's astounding. It's like for every Yom Kippur, you tell me there's no reason you're not supposed to daven. Not even supposed to mention, forget davening. To mention before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the praise that he brings the rain. So Rabbi Yeshua said it's only appropriate at a time that if he brought the rain, it would be acceptable. But if I don't want, I dafka don't want him to bring the rain now, then the praise is empty praise. And Rabbi Lezer in effect said that he could say the praise the whole year. That's what the Gemara spells out. That I can praise, listen, since it's a necessary function of society, that there's rain of the world. So therefore I can be mispalo, I can not be mispalo, mispalo when I need it. But to praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he provides us with rain, that's something that I can be mispalo, be praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for every day. Because it's a necessity. The Gemara finally concludes, Rabbi Yudoyim are overlifting the Atev of Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, which is our practice, Achron Masker of Al Musaf, mentions it, Harishon Eino Masker. Rabbi Yom Ridon Shel Pesach, Harishon Masker says, Masha Baruach, and Achron Eino Masker. So we have this notion that we have to be mispalo for the Geshem. Now, here's not really the tefillah for Geshem. This is the praise. In the Seder, a tefillah always goes, Lodom Yisadar Ochtem Shpocho V'achakach Yispalo. So the Torah Shonar says that's the basis for Pesukah de Zimra. Lodom Yisadar Ochtem Shpocho, so first sing the praises of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then be Mispalo to him. Now, the truth is, we learn it according to the Rambam, that notion is derived really from the etzem notion of tefillah itself. Rambam learns in the first parak in tefillah that the format of Shemoneh Esrei, that we have Shevach at the beginning, Bakosh in the middle, and then finally Hoidah at the end, is a deraisa dikadin. That's what the Rambam learns. It's not a din derabbanan, it's a din deraisa. So the Kesef Mishnah cites the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Veschanan. What is Moshe Rabbeinu? Was Chanan al Hashem ba'isa hilemar. This is the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he first say before the Rabbeinu Shalom? Right? What did he first say? Hashem Elokim ato achilo yisal haros es avducho es god lucho es yoducho achazoko shemikeo b'shamayim voros es yaseh ha'melchum ha'aseh ha'gurosah. There's no force in the world that can do what you do. Praise. What came next? Ebrunov eres oros atoim. Then came the Bakosh. So the Rambam says it's the rice of the Gedim. We learn from the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Interestingly and surprisingly, the case of Mishnah says he doesn't know where the Rambam got the list, and that afterwards you have to have a do. So Pam Iyanti, and I tied it that it's also a partial Chumash. And then I found not only is a partial Chumash, but it's a Sefri on that partial Chumash. It's actually a Sefri. And if you look at what is the brochus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the brochus of Moshe Rabbeinu is also a tefillah. It's a tefillah for the Osir of Klal Yisrael. That's the brochus. So how does the parasha start? First starts with Shevach. Right? Tofiyo meha paron vosar miruvos kodesh v'yino eish tos lomo. So it starts with praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Then it goes through all the brochas of the Shvatim. And then at the end it says, Ashrecha Yisrael Mekamocha Amnoisha B'Hashem. A nation that's saved by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right? So that's Hador. So there's a free, in fact, spells out that the end of Parshas Yisrael Brocha is Hador. And Hador has to come after two. That's in the Raisa Dikadim. So that's obviously the mocker of the Rambam. So this notion that Lo'ilam Yisadar Od Moshvachu V'achakach Yispalo actually is a halacha in Hilchos Tefillah, which is according to the Rambam, is a deraisa dikadin. From that we extrapolated, apparently, we have Pesukei de Zimra first. And that's really the seder that we have. We have Gurus Kshama. It's first we praise the Rabbeinu Shalom Asher Baruch HaMerah Lekesh, but not asking for anything, it's praise. Subsequent to that, we'll come. And it's 2 weeks later in Eretz Yisrael, 2 months later in Chutz La'aretz, and then we'll start to ask for St. Talamot L'Varocho. So when it comes to Geshem, we also use the same format. First Yisadar on Shvachoi, and then V'achar Kach Yispalo. So the Machloikis is, Rabbi Yeshua says, you should only offer that praise if it's a preparation for Tefillah, which it is. In other words, if you don't say it the whole year, so it's a preparation for the time that we're going to be Mispalo for the Geshem. So you can't say it when you're insincere. If the Rebbeinu Shalom sends the rain, I'm going to go up and top stand on the roof of my sukkah and tell them, Rebbeinu Shalom, get this thing out of here. I want to go into the sukkah. Then you don't need it. Then don't play the game. Rebbe Lezer said it's not necessarily in preparation with Yulis and Geshen. You could say it the whole year. It's the way that's appropriate on sukkah still. It's a global issue. It's not a specific time framed issue. So this is where they start off. But before we go into the halachas per se, so we have this machlokes which erupted in the last 20 years, right? Until then, every sitter used to say, Masha Baruch HaMeir Nagosha. Then somebody researched old Siddurim of the 19th century and found that the Siddurim of the 19th century had Masha Baruch HaMeir Nagosha. Where did Goshem come from? So, in the Digdug of Mikra, on a sof pasuk, at the end of a pasuk, or on an esnachta, when you end a phrase, so if you have a word that normally has that one second like shemesh, so then instead of shemesh, it becomes shomesh at the end of a phrase. So some 19th century grammarians, whoever they may be, I do not know, came along and they decided, listen, this is the end of a phrase, masha baruach hakakadim geshem, so they changed it to goshem. In somewhere in the very late part of the 20th century, people discovered that it was changed in the 19th century, and they weren't so happy with the ones that changed it, so they wanted to change it back. And they got a letter of rabbinic endorsement for changing it back. And there's been in the a lot of ferment since in the last 20, 25 years, it'll be Geshem or Goshem. So, to me, the winning argument in this debate was Baruch Soloveitchik itself. He said that the bracha of Atah Gibor is not structured in a manner of ending sentences or ending clauses. Why, he said? Because basically, what is the bracha Atah Gibor Le'olam Hashem? And then we start listing a whole bunch of bullets. Chaim Eisim Ator Avloshia, Masha Varua, Mechal Chaim Chesed, Chaim Eisim Rachamim Rabim, Samech Loifli, Rav Echoyli, Mater Asurim, Chaim Anos, Hashem Eofor. Right, so there's a whole bunch of bullets. So if we were to look at each bullet as being self-contained and ending a sentence, so he says, then how come we have Mechal Chaim Chesed? Should have been Mechal Chaim Chosed. So you see, in fact, that it's not structured in that fashion, which to me is a winning argument in this whole debate. This is the best point that I've ever heard. That why, in fact, it was structured as Machalki, as Masha Baruch Amar
Nageshu. Maybe it should be Machalki.
It isn't. Nobody claims that. Nobody claims that. There's no sitter in the world, apparently, that has that.
I mean, if it was an innovation of 100 years ago.
So, listen. So that's goof for the raya. The raya is whatever they wanted to tell you about it, and nobody, we don't find anyone claiming that it's other than Mechal Chaim Chesed. There is no such text in the Siddur.
Is the Rav passing off advice for people who were just saying one way or the other based on their state that they should switch to?
I don't pass. This is not subject to psak. It's a grammatical thing, and do whatever you know. There are G'dayli Olam that paskin on both sides. Personally, I say Merod Hageshem. To me, it makes the most sense. I can't tell anyone to do. You know, tell me about Moshe supported Goshem. That's true. This one, there's G'dayli Olam on both sides of this issue. It's not, whatever you do, they're not going to throw you out.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Now, what I am wondering, I have to tell you, and I'd like to research further. In the Tfilas Geshem, so the Chazan says, Sha'atuhu Hashem Elokeinu, Mashiv Aruach, and Merit HaGoshem. Now, even in the Siddur, I looked, and I have an Eretz Yisrael like a Siddur, which has Geshem in the front, and has Goshem in the back. So, apparently the Cheshbon, I believe, where it is, it says there it is so possible. Then you start with the bracha below the klala, etc. I'm not necessarily convinced that it's right though. Why? Because l'chayra, what's the point of that statement? L'chayra, it's the chazan statement of what we're going to daven. So l'chayra, to my mind, it should be consistent with the tefillah that we're going to daven. It wouldn't, if in the Shmon Esrei it's not a self posuk. Then the Chor Bar Chazan, it shouldn't be a Seif Pasuk either, even if it happens to be a Seif Pasuk, but it shouldn't be rendered as a Seif Pasuk.
So clearly it's a Pasuk, because the Brahma will cause a continuation of the sentence, really.
Well, it's... Then we say three things, the Brahma below the Klala, etc. There are three different tefillahs. So, I'm not convinced, and this is still an open question to me. I'm wondering after... Let's have somebody fish around in the old Siddurim to find out if they didn't have Masha Baruch Amar Hageshem there too. To my mind, that makes the most sense. To my mind, it's peculiar that the Chazan should say it. And this is the formal proclamation at the start in a fashion which is different than the way we're going to be mispalo. Something's wrong. It doesn't add up.
Is that where the Rav may bring it to be Hageshem?
I don't know. I do not know. And their basic taina was it's the end of a sentence, so it has to be Goshem. That's proper digduk. Yeah. There's a peculiar din, and maybe we have the Pesach to answer it. Right? The peculiar fact the din is the Gemara differentiates between Bovel and Eretz Yisrael. In Bovel, they used to start the Mashav Ruach 2 months after Sukkos. The effect is we do with our practice. And that's our practice. And Eretz Yisrael they started in Zayin Cheshvan. Generally in Shas we have the following. We have Minhogi Eretz Yisrael, we have Minhogi Chutz La'aretz. We don't have Minhogi, our practices in Chutz La'aretz are Mesoiras according to Minhogi Bovel, which are Minhogi Chutz La'aretz. We don't have Minhogi Eretz Yisrael. Our Tfilo is not Kenusach Eretz Yisrael. The Sha'oscha Levadcha B'Yiro Navoid that we have on Yontif is because that was the Chassim in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have a Master Shechinos on the Tzeyah, the Beis HaMikdash was functioning. So what did they daven? That Tfilo was Sha'oscha Levadcha B'Yiro Navoid. It's part of Nusach Eretz Yisrael. Nusach Eretz Yisrael was hidden for a long time, and I think in the Cairo Geniza they found all the brochas of Nusach Eretz Yisrael, a whole listing of it. And Nusach Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have a separate bracha with Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach. And it looks like the Kalir obviously lived in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Kalir and the Kroivitz for Purim, there's only one for Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach. There's not a separate one for each bracha. So it looks like, in fact, that he only had one bracha. He didn't have two brachas.
How did they get 18?
We have 19.
But how did they have 18 without one?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they switched it. Maybe when the Yitochan, that when they made Vilam Hashinim, they crunched these two together. That could very well be. And Ramayla, they stayed with 18. They didn't go to 19. The Isa HaShalom that Nusach Ashkenaz uses is also in Nusach Eretz Yisrael. So there are some remnants in our Tefillah. The Mogen Ovois, there's a little hint within the text of the Mogen Ovois to Nusach Eretz Yisrael. I'll call upon him, so that's an issue of Minhagim. But the reason for the difference of the Seder Tefillah and Eretz Yisrael and Bavo had nothing to do with, it's not a question of Minhagim, but it was practical. Eretz Yisrael needs rain. Bavo is one of the world's great, one of the great river valleys of the world. Right? You have two of the world, the greatest rivers in the world, the Tigris and the Euphrates, flow through Mesopotamia. With those two river valleys, they didn't need to worry about it when it's going to rain on them. There was such an abundance of water that poured down from every mountain all over the Middle East and fed the Tigris and the Euphrates. They had river, they had water till the Shemayim. So they were not dependent. They weren't in any rush to get rain. The agriculture worked very well in the Fertile Crescent without the rain. But that wasn't an issue of Minhagim. That was an issue of practicality. In Eretz Yisrael, where there's a paucity of land in the topography itself, so mainly you need the constant input of the rain. In Bavel, which lied in one of the greatest river valleys in the world, and so you don't need the rain, was a non-issue. It was fertile because of all the water that ran through it. So that means we in Chutz La'aretz shouldn't affect take the practice of Bavel. We shouldn't take the practice of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we should take the practice of Eretz Yisrael because we need rain and not the practice. So why did we wind up with the practice of Bavel? That's one of the dilemmas.
Well, the practice of neither. We really need rain during the summer.
Well, that's it. So maybe we should even be responsible in the summer too because we need it. There are those who share them that say that the rush. And then there's the second question is why the southern hemisphere doesn't do the reverse of Eretz Yisrael, the reverse of us. So the second question perhaps we could answer that since Parnassa ultimately comes from Eretz Yisrael, they framed everything in that time frame. You know, they didn't undertake the reverse. You know, and Bavel, which was basically in the same sphere as Eretz Yisrael, so good, so it's a shaila which day they're going to start, but in other words, in that season is when the brochas coming for Parnassa, so they kept it perhaps in that sphere. They didn't change it in the southern hemisphere either.
The southern hemisphere just came into play 300, 400 years.
We don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Do we know any? We don't know very little about the world. You know, here the liberals are busy. Now it's fashionable among the liberals to blessed Columbus, because Columbus brought the Westerners here and they suppressed the Indians, and it's all, you know, he's But there's another part of world history that I don't want to talk about. As far as the secular world believes presently, the Indians were not the first inhabitants of this continent. There were inhabitants who preceded them. And they came maybe through Alaska or something. They arrived there and they threw out, they destroyed the guys that were here before them. You know, so why all, it's, you know, I was once present in Besden. So a business wanted to open in a certain neighborhood. So all the other competitors in that business all came and they said, you shouldn't let them open because it's Hasagas Gvul. Okay, I heard the title. I'm sitting there. They left. And I was sitting with two elder rabbonim of that part of town. And both of them were, they couldn't contain their laughter. Why, he said? Every single one of these guys that's open, except one, when he opened up, the guys before him were yelling that he's Masig Vuh. And now they're coming before Bezdin to stop the new guy from being Masig Vuh. You know, when you have a long memory. So, so this is one of the dilemmas. The dilemma, we don't really know why we follow Minig Bovel. Why we don't follow the pattern of Minig Eretz Yisrael. What does Minig Bovel have to do with us? Now, let's just touch some of the halachas which are relevant. Let's first start with the halacha of the Shliach Tzibur, and then we'll go in reverse. So I want to make sure that I put in this halacha. The halacha is that if you start the next bracha, let's say one omitted Masha Baruch, and now I started Ata Kodesh, even I said Ata, so that's it, I'm sunk. And now I have to be Chayz El Rosh, I have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei.
You have to take 3 steps
back. I don't know that you have to take 3 steps back. I'm not convinced you have to take 3 steps back. You still omit Lifnei Hashem if you just start the Tefillah again. Now, what happens if the Chazan forgot Masha Baruch? And the Chazan started Nikadish, started Kedusha. So what happens now? Where is he considered? Is he considered still in Mechayim Esim or is he in the Bracha of Atta Kodesh? So Rabbi Gveiger Paskins that he's considered that he started Atta Kodesh, because Nikadish is a chelik really of Atta Kodesh, of Kedusha, of the Kedusha. So Mamele says once if the Chazan would start Nikadish, then the Chazan would have to be Chazal Rosh. Which is in general an interesting problem, because when you have to be Chayz al Rosh for a Chazan, does the Kahal have to repeat the Kedusha or not? So Rabbi Avadi Yosef Paskind that you don't have to repeat the Kedusha. There is a Meiri, in fact, who states explicitly that one has to repeat the Kedusha too. I once had it happen. And even though I have a more greater inclination to Paskin like the year, but I decided to be Samech and Rav Avadi Zatzal. Why? Because I had Rachmanis and the Chazan that messed up. He messed up something. He said one of the brochas wrong, whatever, and the first whatever. Like he made the chesima totally wrong. He just spaced out and he made a wrong chesima. And so this way I just told him to start again. And it didn't become a big deal. If we had to do Kedusha again, this guy would have been the talk of town. So I had Rachmanis on him, and I decided to paskin like Rav Avadia and just, you know, we'll just run through and we're not going to do Kedusha a second time. Because they didn't chop him right away. He messed up in the first 3 brachas. So that's now. This is true.
You
don't
say Kedusha, where you just go straight,
like you're davening your own Shemoneh Esrei. You said Kedusha already. That's all they're going to do Kedusha a second time for. Kitzur, now, the same is true for a Yochid, that once you start out the Kodesh, you're fried. If you didn't start out in Kodesh yet, you can still insert at that point, you can say, B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha, in between the Brochas, which is a very controversial psak. It's endorsed by the Shulchan Aruch, but the Chofetz Chaim is very, very skeptical about it. By the same tal, the Chofetz Chaim says not to do it. By Masha Baruch, he says to do it. If you said Mechaye HaMeisim, so now you're stuck. Your choice is to start Shemoneh Esrei again and insert it at that point, because you're putting it in a place where it's really not part of a bracha. But he, so when he says, by the same towel, umot, you shouldn't do it. Why? Because there you have the opportunity to put it in the brocho shmakale, you know, so you can include it in a brocho. So it's not kedai to do it outside the realm of a brocho. That's what he holds.
How come you can't put
Ma'am Ravai?
I saw like a post saying you could put
Ma'am
into Shema
Tzviva. Well, it's a Shaila with Bavli and Rishalmi. If they're Bavli, I think it's Mashma like that. I think it's not. If I recall.
So one's a Shvach and one's a Bar-Tosha.
Yeah, it's two different things.
So therefore you can't put it in?
That was the Pashtas. Why you shouldn't be able. There's no Shaychas in that part of Shemon Esrei. You know, you have to know if something fits. I told you once, I had a Shaila. If you daven Nila long, the Twil of Nila, and you're in the you finished the work somewhere you saw Bashalom, and you, let's say you're somewhere around the Lokainetzar or somewhere in that area, and the Tzibur gets up to the Yud Gimel Midas, could you say the Good Gimel Midas at that point? Let's say I've said the first year, like the Groh, you don't say the first year, or however it is, Eich Shiyya. But you intend to go on, you're not intending to finish Monastery yet, you intended to go on davening. Can you say the Yud Gimel Midas? So I personally thought that you could. Because why? Because it's a Bakoshas Rachman. So it fits in. It's the Memorial Rachman. So why is that any different than any other Tachnunim? I believe, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I believe I asked Moshe Halberstam Zatzal about it, and he agreed with me. That you could say Yud Gimel Midas at that point, but it has to fit into that part of Shemon Esrei. Now, one of the things that we err, and it's important to realize this mistake, because where we do it here doesn't make a difference. But there's a lot of confusion. There's a difference between saying something which is inappropriate and failing to say something which I need to say. To wit, if I left out Masha Baruch Amar Dageshem, and now I'm up to V'nei Manatol Achiyas Mesim, and I remember, oops, I didn't say Masha Baruch Amar Dageshem, I don't have to go back to Mechal Kol Chayim. I can say Masha Baruch Amar Dageshem at that point. There's no fixed spot where it has to be. It has to be, it's a bullet. It could be right in the beginning of the list, it could be at the end of the list. I don't have to go back. The only place where it has implications, if I already said Benemana Tolach Yus Mesim, and then I remembered, so then I said Masha Baruch there, then Lechat Chil, I'm supposed to say Benemana Tolach Yus Mesim again, because the Gemara says in Avri Psochem that a brocha is supposed to have Me'ein Chasim Basomach Lechasim, but the phrase preceding the closure of the brocha has to tie in directly to the closure. But B'dievet, if I didn't do it, I'm still going to the brocha. It's not Ma'akib B'dievet. So I don't have to go back to Masha Baruch. That's a failure of omission. A failure of commission is a whole different story. Comes the summertime, second day Pesach, and I say Masha Baruch, Amar Dageshem. So now it's not the problem that I didn't say what I'm supposed to say. The problem is the opposite problem. I said what I'm not supposed to say. Which is usually more trouble in life, when you say what you're not supposed to say than when you don't say. You know. So, what happens? I said Masha Baruch, or I said Saint Talumoto and Chalamay Pesach, and now I went a few lines later in the Baruch. Now what do I do? So I don't. It's not. So my problem is a different problem. Is I have to erase in effect what I did. How do you erase it? So you have to go back to at least the phrase which precedes. You'd at least have to go back to Mechaim Esim Atorav Loshia. And then go Mechal Kuchayim Bechesed. If I didn't, you're talking that I'm not even Yetzi B'dievet. So this is a very important point. I have to go back to the phrase preceding the phrase where I made the error of commission and start from there. This time, leave it out. So then the halacha is it's considered uprooted because I reset that whole section of the broch.
Do I have to go back that to Gibor?
I don't know if you need Atta Gibor. I think you could start from the Chaim Esim Atta Rav Loshia B'chorosh should be enough. Now,
Talmud, you'd
go back to Es Kol Menei Svoa, Toivo, Saint Brocho. Oh. Yeah. So here we're dealing with Mashal Baruch, Baruch Geshem. There is a peculiar halacha. It's peculiar in a certain regard. Why? It's true. And the Gemara Yerushalmi says that to mention Moed Atal is a reshus. If you want to do it, you can do it. You don't have to do it. So, and the reality is, even if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz and you want to do it in your private tefillah, you have every right to do it. Nobody can make a minhag against the Rishalmi and say you don't have the reshus to do it. The Chazan can't do it, because since it's not the practice to do it, so he's being Moshanami minhag amokam. So the Chazan not allowed to do it. But any Yochid who daven Nusach Ashkenaz his whole life can say Moed Atal if he wants. The Rishalmi says it's a reshus. The Gra instituted that one should say Moed Atal. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael, which is rooted, the Minhagim are from Talmidei Agra. So they say Moed Atal the whole summer. Now that has a very profound implication, not in the summertime. But what happens if I come to Sukkot and I a terrorist? I said, this is still Mashal Baruch Moed Geshem. But the one little problem, I forgot. So normally, if you daven regular Nusach Ashkenaz, so you sunk, you have to go back. But if you daven Nusach Sfard, and you follow Nusach Agro, and you say Moed Atal in the summertime, so Moed Atal is enough in terms of the Haskorah. In other words, apparently, since the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it has to do with supplying water, and it's not a bakosha. In other words, in bakosha, the chayra wouldn't help. If you said Rasein Tal, and you didn't say motor, then the chayra you'd be sunk. That wouldn't help you. You wouldn't say why? Because the ikar that I have to speak about is the bakosha sageshah. Here, it's only an issue of to praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that supplies water to the world. So as long as I praise them, whether I praise them with Moed Atal, or I praise them with Mashal Baruch Moed Geshem, but as long as I praise them for water, that's already enough of a hidah, of a shevach. And I'm not mechuyev to daven again, it's a surprising chiddush. It's not a chiddush that we would have assumed on our own to be the case. But this is, the Tal is something that is a significant happening in the world. We're not farmers. We don't take the Tal seriously. City slickers, the Tal, who knows the Tal? The rain bothers us. The Tal comes, it lives silently, it leaves silently. The Tal is very, very significant. They use in Eretz Yisrael, on the grapes, they use pesticides to keep the bugs away from them. They don't wash them when they make wine out of them. So I asked them why. Then they said the reason is because the Tal washes them off. By the time we get them, there's nothing left on them. It's an amazing thing. The Tal is a yesh in this world. Oh. The Gemara says in Baba Kama that to become a Shor HaMu'ad, so a Shor has to gore 3 times, and on the 4th time, it's considered a Mu'ad. It has a whole different order of payment that it has to make, and different responsibilities. So it says, Onoda Kishor Nagachum B'tmol Shulshan. It gored today, and it's known that it gored yesterday and the day before. So Rabbi Yehuda says that to become a Shor HaMu'ad, doesn't happen on one day. If it happened spread out over 3 days, that's a Mu'ad. But if it happened on one day, it's not a Shor HaMu'ad. And Rabbi Meir said that Richek Nigichosov, if over 3 days it's gored, it's a Mu'ad, and Kirev Nigichosov Lokol Shekein, then Toshit, if it did it all in one day, then certainly it should be a Mu'ad. So the chayr, what Rameyer is saying is the following. No, there's a yeshiva shashayla. What's a mu'ud? Mu'ud is developing a new personality trait, or it reveals what its personality is in the first place. So, if you're dealing with revealing what its personality is in the first place, then you have no raya from one day. You know, listen, one day in the world, a guy, even people, once in a while, the guy goes nuts. So therefore what? That doesn't tell me what he normally is. Today he was crazy. You know, send him home, let him sleep the night, tomorrow he'll come back. Listen, if you're a good boss, and you have a good worker, he's a little bit nutty today, you tell him, okay, take the rest of the day off, and I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow he comes back and he's fine, and you don't have the problem. If you're a nutty boss, you kick the guy out. You know, if you're a smart boss, you just tend to send him someplace for the day, and tomorrow he comes back and he's normal. So if it's to reveal the personality one day, it doesn't tell me anything. If it's to develop it, then it's a whole different thing that we understand in the psychology of learning. So the more closely related the different times that you do something are, then the stronger the impact that it has. You want to learn how to shoot hoops. If you shoot one today, and one next month, and one the month after, you're not going to learn how to shoot hoops. You want to learn how to shoot hoops? Go to the gym and spend 5 hours there today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after and the day after, and you learn how to shoot hoops. Why? Because since the impressions and the mind and the muscles and the eye-hand coordination are closely related to each other, it has a strong impact. So the chara, that's what Rameh is saying. Here in the Gechayis of Lokosh again. So we say if I have to develop a new habit, the more closely the varied aspects of it, the repetitions are, the stronger its impact. So they want to say that that's some Ameila, that I can say 90 times in one day, Masha Baruch Amar HaGeshem, and that suffices. We always paskan like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't paskan like Rabbi Meir. So they want to say that's only because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Oshon Agachum Mit Moshul Shom. And Svara, Rabbi Meir is right. Rabbi Yehuda's dispute is not in the Svara, and the educational Svara, Rabbi Meir is right. Here it's Xeris HaKosov that you have to wait 3 days. That's the way the little Pshat, I think, in this classic Rabbeinu Peretz. So from this Rabbeinu Peretz, we came to the practice that we have, that many write on, even on Shmini Atzeres, do 90 times. Some suggested 101 times, because that has to be all the times you do it a month. And there are a few Musafim in the month, so there's a few extra tefillahs, more than 90 in the month's time. So they pushed it a little higher than that. So that's where it comes from. It comes from this Gemara, which deals with how you become a Shor HaMu'ud, and assuming that Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing in the Svar, they're only arguing with a Pasuk, but in terms of the Svar, that they agree with each other. So this is where we get to practice that many repeat Masha Mechayim Eisem HaTorah V'Shiyah Masha Ruach HaMar HaGeshem many times. And then they say that's it, in case they don't remember if they said or not, we assume that they recited it appropriately. It comes from that Gemara. Okay, I'm going to say Ad Kan for today.
Question? Absolutely nothing on top of the question.
What?
I need to ask the Rav a quick question. Nothing to do with the issue.
How are you?
Just a quick question about Birchas HaGomer.
Yeah.
So I was driving back from Lakewood the other night, and at a certain point I discovered that I like started, basically I think I was driving on the belt, and I started, all of a sudden I noticed myself smashing against, like coming against the wall. So I guess I got like those help at some point there, and that woke me up. So
I don't think you need to bench guy more. You should give it stop to and say Tilam Avodah.
Plus it's Tilam Avodah.
You find Prokhan, there are the numerous Prokhan we deal with in Yonah Hedon. So say something about it.
Okay.
Give it stop. Right after Bob. Listen, I feel bad you have the chair, but I'd like to see you.
If you say more to Tom, the sun, so when you forget Masha Ruach.
You don't have to worry about it.
No, of course, but I'm saying, did you want to bring up the kacha if you're remembering why?
No.
Hashem, no, you just keep going.
Keep going.
Okay.
Maybe.